Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Namaskar, my friends, as they say in parts of India. This is Alec Vishal Rubin, here to welcome you back to the Yoga Revealed podcast. It is a pleasure and true honor to highlight one of my most recent teachers who have come into my life, Sri H.S. Arun. When I was living in India for 2 months with Eddie Modestini, we spent many hours a day, 7 days a week, studying and practicing under Arun. Arun was the most loved student by BKS Iyengar and spent over 4 decades as his student.
They call it Mother of the Asanas. So the moment you go to the pose, you become quiet and calm. If you are really practicing that way, that type of withdrawal, what you call your pratyahara. So that pratyahara happens in Sarvangasana or any posture. The moment you are in a difficult position, in a traffic, in a plane. So the moment you close your eyes, you withdraw. You come to that Sarvangasana level.
This episode takes us deep into the roots of yoga, and it is a blessing for us to be able to hear from Arun on the Yoga Revealed podcast. Open your heart and your ears and enjoy. Namaste, my friends, and welcome back to the Yoga Revealed podcast. This is Alec Vishal Rubin, and I am in southern India, just a few hours away from Bangalore, where Eddie Modestini and I have been living over the last 2 months and studying with an incredible man who has devoted his life's path to revealing, sharing, and investigating his own inner journey of yoga. His name is Arun, and he is one of India's senior most Iyengar teachers. And this is a huge feat that he has spent most of his life practicing and studying under the tutelage of Dr. BKS Iyengar. And Arun, it is such a blessing to be sitting across from you at the vision of your center of education and health. And healing.
Yeah.
Where are we?
Namaste. As you said, we are in south of India. Our state is called Karnataka. And it is closer to Bangalore. Around 60 miles from Bangalore. So it's a beautiful facility here. As you saw that, we have plenty of rock mountains here around. It's a beautiful place here.
It's very beautiful. Just as much as Prashant Yogashraya, your shala.
Yeah.
That I'm practicing at many hours a day.
Yeah.
It is such a pleasure to be there as well. So before we start, you know, really get into the conversation, one question that we always ask our interviews, our yogis, is how did you find yoga?
Like many of them, we started yoga because of illness, the background of illness. So when I was 14 years, I had asthma, bronchial asthma, wheezing, allergic to dust, and I was asked by one of my seniors to practice yoga. So that's why I joined yoga class in a small way, like three days in a week. And it is surprisingly, in 3 months, my asthma was completely cured. But I had a couple of years asthma, dust allergy.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you came to yoga from one of your teachers to clear up your asthma.
Yeah, one of my senior, I was in a concerned CPA company. So I met my senior there. he asked, why are you so weak? Why can't you do yoga? So I was sneezing. Whenever we used to open a large book, I used to sneeze a lot, like 30, 40. So then So then he advised, why can't you do yoga?
Wow.
So I went to an institution where already they were teaching yoga. And one of my teachers, when I went there, it was not Iyengar yoga. It's some combination of Hatha yoga and mantras and kundalini, all mix. So I was very fascinated with the teacher. It was a very nice teacher. So we used to teach there, and when I went there, there was no one in the, there was an office. The gentleman said, already the course has started, so you had to come after 2 months. So then I went after 2 months. So there was a fresh, what do you call, batch was going on. I joined the course. After 3 months, there was a test, like an exam. So I was the second in my test. So I was encouraged by the practice.
I see.
Yeah.
Is this teacher that you're speaking of Mr. Iyengar?
No.
He came later.
Yeah, he came in my life. He came later. This was like 1974. I started practicing for 3 months. And then there was a, what you call, senior class. That was almost a year. And my teacher who was teaching me, he left India and then he went to Europe countries.
Mm.
Then I was asked by a couple of ladies to give class because they used to see me practicing. They saw my demonstration.
Mm.
So I was so young, like I was 20 years. So the ladies, they said, if Arun can teach, so then I can learn. We can practice.
Mm.
Then I told them I do not learn to teach. It's just my practice. They said, we don't mind. So the institution asked me to give class for a couple of ladies, like 8 ladies in the room. So it was funny that I used to practice, come out, and they used to practice after me practicing.
Yes.
So that's how it started. It's very interesting. Even now, the same thing goes on. Instead of teaching, I practice, and the students follow me.
Yes. Your practice classes are so excited.
Yeah, after that, after a year, I think, and the institution asked me, why can't you give a general class for the public?
Mm.
So then they made a syllabus for 3 months. Then I was not happy because of it. No one can learn in 3 months. Then we extended to 4 months. Even there, I was not happy. Then we made it 6 months. So 6 months class. In between 1977, I met Guruji's BKS Iyengar student called Ajit Kumar.
Mm.
So he influenced us by practicing Iyengar yoga. He was very interesting because, he was teaching us weekly once on Saturdays for 2.5 hours to 3 hours. He had a mix of Iyengar yoga and Ashtanga. He learned from Guruji BKS Iyengar and from Bhattabhi Joyce.
Mm.
So he had a combination, both. So we used to practice both, like strong postures or what you call arm balances, couple of from Ajit Kumar.
Mm.
So then 1979, the great teacher, Guruji BKS Iyengar, came to the same institution where I used to teach. And there were a couple of teachers, 5-6 teachers, they were reluctant to teach in front of the legendary teacher. And my teacher, he said, hey Arun, why can't you give class? I said, okay. So innocent, ignorant, both are bliss for me. So I just stood in front of me, started with typical standing poses of our bands. So it was almost like 2 hours. So after the class, before leaving, he called me back and then he asked, what's your name? And then I told my name in typical in Sanskrit way. We, to the elders, we do a namaskar by expressing ourselves where we belong, where the lineage belongs. So then I did namaskar. Then he said, hey, whatever, you're not teaching, you're just practicing. I said, yes, Guruji, I don't know. So I thought this is the way to teach. Then he said, you have to come down to your student's level in teaching. So that was the interesting point in my life. It took almost 20 years.
Wow.
What he said. What was the meaning of come down to your student's life? A student in teaching.
Yes.
Student level. Then when I was traveling in the year 2001 to South American countries, then a couple of teachers, they expressed that, Mastro, though we don't understand English, but the way you teach, we are able to understand. So then, oh my God, so this is the way. So Guruji, what he said, it was this one. So I had to, if I Because for me, mythology is a tool to express my teaching. Mm. But who will understand the mythology?
Yeah.
So if I say Shiva or Ganesha or Mahabharata or Ramayana or Hanuman, so people may not understand. So they may ridicule about whatever mythology. So that's why I don't use those words. I don't use any superficial words so that people can understand. So that, it took 20 years to understand. More than 20 years.
That's really
so
neat.
So 1978, 2001 I came to know about what
Guruji what he meant.
What he meant.
Wow.
So that then, so I started my own institution or studio called Prashant Yoga Studio in 1984.
Wow.
So when I went, when I started, so we went to Pune and requested him, please do come to inaugurate our institution. He was so happy. He said, well, definitely I'll come. Make it for 3 days. So then I wrote a letter. Will you give class? He said, no, I'm going to help you. Don't, what do you call, post it. Don't advertise. I'm giving class. You are going to give class. I will help you how to give class. So call it festival. So since then, 1984 until 2016, my classes are called Yoga Festival. It's not a class.
Yes.
So a lot of celebration, a lot of happy moments in life. Mm. So that we celebrate. So each day is a celebration in that way. Mm. If you observe my class, so each day it looks like a celebration.
It does.
A lot of fun, a lot of humor. So humor is most of the time, it's just, it comes up.
Wow.
See, there's no, it's not a typical thing.
Mm.
So I do, my, for me, yoga is not what you call, just to stretch my legs and hands to connect. So in my if I'm practicing on my own, I'll be connecting my skin, muscle, bone, joints, breath, and consciousness.
Mm.
Next level, the connect with the students. So connect with people who I am. Not just in a class. Even if I'm outside, I have to connect. If I see a person in a kitchen, in a function, I'll connect with him. I may make fun about his hair. So I may make fun about his, the way he walks. So I connect. My thing is, connection is maitri, friendliness. So I want to be friendly with everyone. So then friendly with the consciousness, super consciousness. That's the idea of practicing yoga, to connect.
Mm. I had said outside of the shala one day, Arun, you were so funny.
Yeah, you said that.
And you said, it's how I connect with people.
Yeah.
And it's why I
connect.
Yeah,
even with the coconut vendor, I talked to him. I say, oh my God, your moustache is so nice. So that's how I connect with people.
Yes. So how many years did you spend studying under Mr. Guruji?
Oh, it was interesting. When he came in from 84, so there was 80 people already practicing with me. So he saw the class. I was giving a practice and then he was connecting my class. So the first one was, I think everyone knows, Tadasana, Trikonasana, Parshvakonasana, Virabhadra. That's the standing we usually start with. And doing a Trikonasana itself, second attempt when we are doing, is that Arun stopped. Because I was giving instruction right side, around 10 instruction, left side 15 instruction. And he said, you have cut down the instruction, let them do. If the person is not understanding what you're saying, if you just, he's taking your foot out in Trikonasana, that's the wrong pose. They have to turn the entire leg. It's not just the foot. So you have to see that if your students are doing. If it looks like as if you know the knowledge, you're just pouring it out, it doesn't help you. It doesn't help your student. So the student has to do, he has to understand what type of instruction you're getting. So that's why I don't give much instructions. I'll see that whatever I practice, I show them, let them do properly, that's the instruction. So I have to allow my students to understand what I teach.
You know,
just go on giving instruction. 100 instructions, right, sir? So then I will limit myself to an instructor instead of becoming a teacher.
Can you...
Teaching is...
What's the difference?
Huge difference. So instructor, can you... In the instruction manual, you get the instruction. So you just give an instruction.
Huh.
Teacher has an experience of that instruction. So he will practice. Then he will pour it onto your students. Where then he sees that they are practicing what I am practicing or what I am teaching. But teaching is different.
You know, I'm
teaching comes from the experience.
And you have a lot of experience.
No, teaching comes from the experience, but not the instruction is in the book. You can instruct, give an instructor.
I have never seen someone so tuned in to the detail of everyone's body and their own skin in such a way in the two-hour class, I'm pretty sure you say everyone's name and you direct them and cue them and guide their body into alignment and into shape. You touch every single person, maybe, but you say every single person's name or nickname for that matter.
Sometimes I give them names.
I love my nicknames. Yeah. They're amazing. Thank you. How long did it take you to cultivate that keen, sharp eye of attention?
Experience. Moreover, as I said, I want to connect with people. So if I know the name, then I can, as you said, it goes personal. So I try to see everyone. I have a nook and corner and then try to connect with them. As you said, I see them. So sometimes I feel that very dull. Mm. I go closer to them and say, hey, Mr. or Madam, are you okay today? So I feel it. So because then I have to change. So some people come to sleep because they are working, they are restless, they don't have time to rest at home. I said, come on, let rest here, I don't mind. So I give them a rest pose. Even I think yesterday, this one lady came and said, I want to rest. Please go ahead. It's not that for me, it's not yoga, it's not giving a what I want or so I have to see even my students get benefited from it.
Do you feel like that's something that your Guruji transmitted to you?
Guruji was Guruji for everyone. So each one took his subject in a different level. Mm. So it is like, he is like, for example, if you explain about Patanjali, It is said there's a story in Patanjali. So there was when a couple of students, like 100 students, when they went to Patanjali, so they asked Patanjali, will you teach us? So he said, I can teach. I can give all my knowledge, but only two conditions. One is, you should not miss a class. Second one, you're not supposed to see me. So if you see me, you'll be burnt. Hmm. Because as you know, Patanjali is an incarnation of a god, I mean, Adishesha, the serpent. So where Vishnu was sleeping on is a couch. So Adishesha was a couch for Vishnu. Hmm. So that's why there's no leg. So there's this Dhyana Sloka, it expresses the identity of Patanjali. Is Abahu Purushakaram Shankha Chakra Asidharinam. So Sahasra Shirisham Shvetam Pranamami Patanjalim. That is, a person doesn't have lower body, snake, upper body is human, with four hands. So it's all because even in any mythological god, they have their weapons, they have their own identity. So even Patanjali identity with one conch, one disc, so one small sword, and folded hand. So that's the way we connect with Patanjali. Mm. So when he said, that's a two deal, as I said. So all 100 students sitting together, listening to him. It was a listening. So everyone got a different concept, understanding of his teaching. So when they were sitting together, everyone was surprised. How it's possible a man behind the screen was able to connect with us with so many instructions, so many understand knowledge. So that's why one gentleman wanted to see him. They should not one Patanjali, they should many. So the moment they opened the screen, so the eyes, Patanjali's eyes went to all the 100 people. They were burnt.
Wow.
So only one came late. So that's why we got the knowledge. That's the story. It's not a mythology story. But even if you have visited temple in India, so in front of God, no one stands in front of God. They'll stand to the right, they'll stand to the left. In front, you can see a big pillar. Because God's eyes are so powerful. So that's why we will not face him. Mm. So that's why we said always to the sides, with respect. Mm. So that's the story to link with Patanjali. You're not supposed to stand in front of Guru. That you always decide. Very rare we stand in front of teacher. Even with my Guru. So if he said sit down, I sit. To the side. Next not in no, side. Huh. Not directly in front of. So very rare occasion we sit in front.
Wow.
So because we are not we don't have that much strength to receive that grace from them. So even they say even the eyes of the king, the vision of the king is very strong. So even the king of those days, they never used to stand in front of the king. only to the sides.
Mm. Yeah. And when it comes to your from Guruji, from Mr. Iyengar.
Oh, let me explain. That's right. Oh. So in 1984, he came, he saw my class, asked me to cut down the instructions. The next one was when we were coming down from the class, he said, Arun, whatever you learned is nothing. Two things. One is that before I say whatever I gave, it's for years. It's for 3 years. I was surprised what he said, only 7 poses in 3 days. It is for 3 years. Couldn't understand what he's saying. Then, now I know, because those instructions, even now it pours into my brain. Because I lost that, because at that time, we are very ignorant. We not learned, we not listened to him. We might have listened, but it might not have recorded properly. Mm. Only when you are connected with the teacher, that comes in. Then this is the point which Guruji told many years ago. So many techniques, so many instructions, so many things. It is recorded, but it doesn't come out. So when you are practicing, when you connect with the consciousness of Guruji, then the instruction comes. Then if I think it is my own instruction, then I am fool. Because that he has done. He has done the work, not me. So I am just connected to him, so that I get little things from him. Mm. So then he said, hey, you have to come to Pune to learn for a month. I said, whenever you say, I'm there, Guruji. Then he asked me to come couple of, intensives where Gitaji used to give class.
Mm.
So I learned a lot from Gitaji. So whatever I am now, because of Gitaji.
Wow.
All this, talk on the subject,
Yes.
Yes, so many things are from her. Plus, of course, experience from the students around the world. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I think there are many systems of yoga.
Yeah.
And it's all yoga.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
However, in my very basic understanding of how Iyengar is differed from other systems of yoga, it seems to be that there's a huge scientific focus on Iyengar yoga, and especially what Mr. Iyengar was investing in practicing for years and for all of his life. But then keeping in mind that I did just say it's all yoga. So his findings on all the medical benefits of all these postures still is encompassed within many of the other systems of yoga. But can you illuminate how there is a science of yoga?
If you asked him, he would have told he's an artist. Hmm. Like artist is more greater than the science. So whatever medical thing, what we speak about, the alignment, all those things, is more of his intuition. Mm. Because he saw many people. He experimented on his own. So he experienced on his own. Then tried to help other patients or other students. He was very, for example, all because of his experience. So once he came to Prashant Yogashtra Chayanagar, he saw a lady. He said, "Oh, lady, you have a problem with your thyroid. Go and check with your doctor."
Hmm.
So even today, I was telling in a class, I was standing and on Vipri Dandasana on the chair, and I was standing at a lady. Immediately, my Guruji came to me. In the sense, his knowledge, he was telling someone, me. So if a lady has a blockage in fallopian tube, so how to work on a backward bend? So even I was playing that lady also. So that's why I said we always link with the teacher. So he's to give pressure at a certain spots so that it opens up.
Mm.
He has done some miraculous work.
Work
on physical body.
Wow.
Yeah. Then of course he touched everyone's mind and heart too. Yes, of course. He's very interesting. He's very challenging. He's a challenge.
Fierce.
It's a way of to teach.
Mm.
For example, I was told, one of my students went to the Pune, and he was sitting in the library, and then he mentioned my student, Arun has a lot of ego. When he comes to Pune, he just stand behind a pillar, and then he just takes everything from his eyes, then he doesn't assist the class. That was true. Because I was very shy, because it's a big institution, there's so many couple of senior teachers, So I very much tried to even to go and help them.
Mm.
So that's why I used to, he saw me, definitely he saw me. So I was, there are a couple of pillars there. I used to hide so that I need not help. So then I was, as I said, I was very timid and humble and all those things. I thought, okay, let me, next time when I met, let me talk to him. So I went to the library, I touched this with Guruji. I came to know that I have, you said that I have a lot of ego. I said, Guruji, I don't have much ego. I folded my he put his finger, index finger on my face. I said, what is this? Telling myself I don't have ego. It's a big ego. That's how he hits in a proper way. That's true.
Wow.
So he reads human mind. So yoga is nothing that, not just hand movements or leg movements.
Mm.
So it works more on psychology. As of when you're coming in a car, in a cab, I mean, car, I was explaining, mm. I was telling you about, it is not, what you call, just a backward bend or a forward bend or a twist. If a person says to tell me that I don't like backward bend, so I know why he doesn't like a forward backward bend, or why he doesn't like a forward bend, why he doesn't like a twisting. I know, we can understand why. So it took years to understand why people doesn't like a backward bend. So I thought, okay, maybe a weak spine or cervical spine. So or indigestion or liver, what do you call it, liver sluggishness. So for that one may feel giddy. Other may not feel like it. So that's not true.
Hmm.
In each section of what you practice, it has a strong influence on psyche.
On emotions.
And emotions too, yeah, of course.
Hmm.
So that is very interesting for me to learn as the year goes on, as I'm expanding signal. If a person says, I don't like twisting, I know why he doesn't like it. Then I will ask his profession, what is your profession? Then I know, oh yeah, definitely, that's why he doesn't want to do twisting postures. Because twisting postures, it remains you at present.
Hmm.
So if a person doesn't want to live in present, he wants to dwell in past or future, that's why he doesn't want to do twisting. The person always in a project, in a building project, or some other project. He doesn't want to remain at present. He has to go to the future all the time.
Mm.
That's why he doesn't want to do this. Backward bend. I don't use word back bends. So the moment you think of back bends, so the back hurts. Because I work from the back. I don't say back bend, I say backward bend. The huge difference. In a back bends, if you think of the moment they think they work from the back, for me, I work from my stomach, I work from the legs, I work from the shoulders, not from my spine in that sense.
Hmm.
So if the past is not good, then they come up with emotion. They start, all this will come up, the past will come back to the at present. They start crying or weeping or feel low about it.
Hmm.
And sometimes the people say, oh, if I do backward, I don't get good sleep. For me, it's the vice versa. I get good sleep when I do a backward bend. So it depends on sequencing. As you know, Iyengar Yoga is full of sequencing. After the class, if you feel a little agitated, a little aggressive, then that practice is wrong. Mm.
Mm.
So one should feel a little quiet and calm when you finish the class.
Are there tools that we can use in our practice that you could offer that would help our yogis settle into poses, you know, if they find agitation of mind in back bend and twist and forward bend, or just frustration and this?
That's why we need sequencing. Sequencing is important here. So how do you sequence the pose? For example, like a couple of years ago, I don't remember where, East, West or Midwest, I don't know, in the US, I saw an interview with Guruji. He was telling that there are 8 to 10 postures which gives you quietness and calmness, which we can't explain.
Hmm.
So pain and pleasure, we can't give it. It's not like when you go to an Indian restaurant, especially in the United States, they give you a rate, how much spice you need. 5, 3, 4, 8, 10. Spicy, mild. So the same way, we can't tell about that bliss, that comfort. I'm not supposed to use comfort. That type of calmness and quietness.
Mm.
So there are 4 or 5 forward bends which gives you quietness and calmness. That is Prasaridapada Uttanasana, Adho Mukha Svanasana, Uttanasana. 3 forward bends.
Mm.
Even there, it depends on how you practice. For example, when couple of you, if you see my class, I start my prasarita like as if you are doing Adho Mukha Svanasana, as if you are doing Shishasana, as if you are doing Sarvangasana. The arms will be like Adho Mukha Svanasana. So all these three combinations I give, so that the moment you come to the class, you come to relax, and you come to quieten yourself, to calm yourself. That's why we chant Om, to quieten ourselves. So from there I do a little quad bends again to get that quietness, calmness. So one has to find out which pose will be more, which gives you that quietness and calmness. So for me, it can be Adho Mukha Svanasana. For others, Adho Mukha Svanasana, it's very difficult to hold that. So then they may do Prasarita Padottanasana. For others, Uttanasana. So all any three postures, you just choose which. Like even in, you know that, in a deity, when you pray in Hindu, this thing, one has a deity, favorite deity, maybe Hanuman, maybe Ganesha, maybe Shiva, maybe Krishna, maybe Rama. There are so many. So we choose one for our prayer. For yoga practitioner, maybe Patanjali. So Patanjali is the main thing for us. So that, like same way, you have to select, or even in what you call in music, you select one. We call it ragas. So they select, they master one raga. So the same way, you have to master one pose, which gives you quietness and calmness. So then after the forward bend, there is Shishasana. Then Sarvanga, Shishasana, headstand, shoulder stand, Karnapidasana on chair, repeat Karni, sometimes repeat Dandasana on chair. So these are the 8 to 10 postures which gives you quietness and calmness. So we start with forward bend, the quietness and calmness. We end with Sarvangasana, Karnapidasana, Setuban to remain calmness. So this is the hint for you. So in between you can practice whatever you want.
Yes.
So you can end it. Not, I'm not saying that these, what you call, asanas is not just in a yoga class. Even in your day-to-day life. So if you're in a traffic, or if you are tired, or if you're in an aeroplane, so if you are agitated, the moment you bring that quietness, calmness in your life, you know what bhavana you had, what feeling you had in those postures. Like Karnapidasana, Setuban, Sarvangasana. So the moment you go to the point, take 1 minute to you withdraw yourself from in that position. Sir, why you like Sarvangasana? You don't know why you like Sarvangasana. They call it Mother of the Asanas. So the moment you go to the pose, you become quiet and calm. If you are really practiced that way, that type of withdrawal, what you call your pratyahara. So that pratyahara happens in Sarvangasana or any postures. The moment you are in a difficult position, in a traffic, in a plane. So the moment you close your eyes, you withdraw. You come to that Sarvangasana level. Your bhavana. Bhavana is feeling. The feeling of Sarvangasana, the feeling of Karnapidasana. Even I make a joke in class. If you are doing Trikonasana, why you get neck pain? You're not supposed to get neck pain. You're weak. So the moment you think of Sarvangasana, you immediately calm yourself. So you have to find out one asana which gives you that type of calmness, quietness. Wow. So it's outside the mat. Yoga should be not just on the mat. Even outside the mat, you have to get that thing to happen. Then it is we are being practicing yoga. Otherwise, you end up with the physical activities.
Wow, that is a profound way, truly, for us to take our practice off the mat and into the world. We hear that all the time. At least I hear that all the time. Yeah. And I'm sure our listeners, take your practice off the mat and into the world. But right there, to me, that is just such a tangible, a visceral ability and conscious observation to seek a pose and really draw into the feeling that is resonating within the mind and the body and the breathing patterns, and take that out into challenge and into opportunities for growth.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Super cool. Like you say.
No, I learned from you. When I travel, I heard it. Super cool.
Very neat. So, we've gotten down into the settling, into dropping into poses. You know, what is it about certain posture? What is a benefit? Say I stay in Trikonasana for 5 breaths, right and left side, maybe 7 breaths, versus staying in Trikonasana with you like we're doing for 5 minutes, maybe? Or even 2 minutes, change sides 4 or 5 times in pattern. What is the difference of how the benefit of the pose is dropping in to our bodily sensations and awareness?
Aha, that's interesting. So yoga is not for a sensation.
Mm.
It is for the sensory organs.
Say more.
So if you are doing for the senses, then there is a pain, pleasure and pain. For the senses, it doesn't need any of those sensations. So as you rightly said, we practice, we took an asana, we go on practicing it. It is like elaborating, it is like a movement, it is like a flow, it is like an extending your action or your consciousness. So the one time you just do it, second time little interesting, third, so you just think about 5 minutes, sometimes you do. I'm not saying that I'm going to stay in a pose for an hour. If you observe 90 minutes class, you might be doing 4 or 5 postures. So asana is not an exercise. Asana is to hold. When you end an asana, when you end an exercise, the asana, real asana happens. So if yoga is called chitta vritti nirodha, that is stopping, controlling the movements or the fluctuations of mind, intelligent ego. Chitta is mind, consciousness, consciousness of mind into ego. If that is yoga, then what about asanas? Asana is to control the movements, the fluctuations of the muscles. The muscle should not move. When the muscle doesn't move, the body is stable. When the body studies what you call sthira sukhamasana.
Yes.
Sthira chira sukhamasana. So where you hold your pose. So body needs, the mind needs a moving body. The mind moves. So when you just hold the pose, the mind doesn't move. That's why I said in the beginning now, the pratyahara happens for a practitioner, for an asana practitioner, the pratyahara happens. Especially those in 10 postures, where your sensory organ is completely quiet and watchful in all those 10 postures. So the moment you bend forward, you immediately, all your senses have become quiet and calm. Uttanasana, Adhomukshana, Prasiddhipadasana. So you need one more word we use in Sanskrit. It's called snayu sthambana. In pranayama, we call it sthambana, is holding the breath. Snayu, vayu sthambana, or that sthambana, that's holding. Even here, the muscle, you have to hold the muscle. The more you hold, the more you get relaxation, then you get strength more. So that's why one has to hold the posture for a length of time, where the teacher also, from within, he comes to you to help you. That's why I have to hold your pose. So it's just to hold. Hold your consciousness there. So it's not just pulling the kneecap or tightening the larynx. So it takes a little more time. That's why you need your own practice, a personal practice, what your mind feels, what your body feels at that time. So you can't stick to a certain level of practice. You go on changing. So today morning I get up, so I come to class, so I feel what type of practice I need. So then according to that I practice. Though I'm sometime anytime I may prepare myself, today is Friday, the whole of Iyengar yoga community will do a backward bend. Let me also practice. I may start with one Urdhvamukha Svanasana, then I may feel somehow I'm not comfortable, my hip is giving some problem, then I have to change. Then I'll change again, my mind's okay, come on, my hip is better, let me continue. So like that it goes on, change, our practice will change. If you stick to it, I have to do that, then you end up in back pain. So there should not be pain in that sense in our practice. There should not be any what you call stuck on our practice.
That's amazing. I think that's a great takeaway for not only me personally, but all of us to, despite we go to classes,
Yeah.
Like this morning after you taught 2 classes, you were like, I need to go do my own practice real quick, and then we go. And I think that's important, to have personal practice. That's something that I seek to cultivate in 2017. That's one of my intentions, is to maybe step away more so from being in the room with other group practice, which I value so much. I think Sangha.
You learn that. Learning is different. Teaching is different. Demonstration is different. Teaching is different. Sharing is different. Everything is different. It was very interesting for me. Because through many from years and years, I just practice. So when I practice, I close my eyes. And in a class, if I had to demonstrate, I close my eyes. Because I am just a practitioner at the time. So I want to go deep into myself, and I have to learn. I have to practice on my own. But recently, 2016, in May, we had an Iyengar Yoga Convention in Boca Raton in Florida, in the United States. I was a student. After long, long years, I was a student. Student in the sense, a big group, like 1,000 people, where Abhijata Sridhar, Guruji's granddaughter, she gave a convention. So I went to the class. First few minutes, I was not a student. I was also a teacher. So I was watching what the teacher is giving. Then after that, I surrendered myself. That is, I am not a teacher, I am a student. So when I am a student, even in Sarvangasana, I was not able to close my eyes. I was opening my eyes because I had to be attentive.
Listen.
Listen, watch and learn. So that's why I said completely different. So the approach is different. So even for a practitioner, we need a lot of discipline. As a practitioner, I need my own props, I need my own room, I need my own food, I need my own recreation, I need everything I need to be a good practice. For a demonstration or for a teaching in a class, I don't need much discipline because the body has done from years. So without any people call warm-up, we don't need any warm-up. Hanumanasana, anytime you can do because the body knows. How to do a Hanumanasana? One right leg goes backward, left leg goes back, right leg forward, left leg back. So if I know where I am tight in my muscle there. So I know where to release that. The moment I go there, I release, I don't get pain. So I don't need any warm-up or a preparation for to do a pose. Well, the body has already done. The body has its own memory. So for that, you don't need discipline. For practice, I need my discipline there, complete discipline. For a demonstration, as such, no, not necessary.
What kind of discipline?
In practice,
right.
We hold the pose for length of time. In demonstration, just 10 seconds, 20 seconds, and a minute maximum. But in other, in the practice, it will be more. The range is different.
What are you disciplining when you go do your personal practice? What is in need of discipline?
What do you mean?
I go for 5 minutes and I'm done.
Yeah?
I do my practice for 5 minutes. Is it the kind of thing where, you know, maybe there's a discipline to really drop in and be still, to have willpower to stay?
Yeah.
Where maybe I'm speaking for myself here. Sometimes I go into a pose and everything's bubbling up to the surface and everything in me is like, oh, I just want to leave because I don't want to face this right now. So to have the discipline to...
That's only at the beginning. Everyone will face that. And then after a couple of months, you don't feel... You overcome that.
Right.
And moreover, this is all what you speak about asana. There's also, there's no time bound. So one asana, you can for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
Done.
So you can go on practicing. Like a meditation. Meditation doesn't have a time bound. So it's very funny, people say, I do meditation. How can you do meditation? You have to be in meditation to feel meditation. So even practicing asana, for me it is like doing a meditation. It has to be done. Asana should be not go on doing it. So if you go on doing that as an exercise, they not come to the level of asana. You have to be in an asana.
The great paradox of doing and being.
So you have to be in an asana, but not go on doing an asana. So lessen the movements. So it is not activity, it's an action.
So that's also a Yoga Sutra. I don't know the Sanskrit cadence, and you might, but it is to soften the intensity of your efforts.
Oh, yeah. It happens. It takes time.
Yes.
Effortless effort, what the people call about effortless effort.
Effortless effort.
Yeah, that's the sutra.
Yes, indeed. Nice, Arunji. Well, last question. So we are approaching 2017.
Yeah.
This is exciting. It's an auspicious time, I feel, on the planet, and especially just being here and sitting across from you and studying with you this deep knowledge that has been transmitted over years. As we share it with our listeners on the Yoga Revealed podcast, what would be some tips that you would have to offer to our practitioners as they move forward into 2017 to continue to evolve and aspire for evolution and connection to what you were speaking to as super conscious?
Yeah. So, yes, the asana is, many times I say asana is like giving a chocolate to a kid to come close to us. Asana is like that. It's like a chocolate. Let them come closer to us. Then the teacher will guide you. In the sense that it's not just practice of an asana. It is practicing other principles of yoga, like we call it the important thing, Maitri, Karuna, Mudita, Upeksha, Ananda, 5, which comes in Yoga Sutra. This is the quality and the character of for a human being, not just forget about yoga practitioners. Maitri, friendliness. Friendliness with everything, each and everything. Not just a person, even the nature. That is friendliness, compassion. Then being happy all the time. Then feeling everything in indifferent. That's very much imparted in our practice. The content. So that is 5 very much imparted in our practice. If you practice this, then everything will be, you'll be connecting the consciousness.
Kindness and compassion.
Kindness, compassion, being happy all the time. Content, what do you mean?
Contentment. Santosha.
Santosha. Mudita. Ananda.
Ananda.
Ananda. Ananda is happiness. So the happiness in many ways in Sanskrit. Both are a little different. Ananda, Santosha, Mudita.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, Arun, thank you so much sharing with us the years of experience that you have committed yourself to and devoted yourself to. It's an absolute honor.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Namaste.
If you would not mind closing us with the sound of Om.
Yeah, perfect. Om Karabindu Samyuktam Nityam Dhyayanti Yoginah Kamada Mokshadam Chaiva Om Karaya Namo Namaha Om.
Thank you, my friends, for listening to one of India's most senior credited Iyengar yoga teachers, Arun. If you feel called to travel to India and study with Sri H.S. Arun, feel free to contact me through my email, aleklovelifeyoga@gmail.com, and we can get the conversation started for you. Take the leap. Arun travels the world as well, and you can find out where he's teaching, hopefully near you. Visit yogashraya.org. That's yoga, SHRAYA.org, yogashraya. I'm recording this outro to you from Vietnam as I travel through Asia for 6 months, crossing paths with inspired yogis who are making a difference in the world, which we truly seem to need now more than ever. Thank you for taking all that you have learned in your practice and through the podcast and integrating it into your daily flow of life. We are stronger than we think. And just by practicing, we make one of the biggest differences, not only in our day, but also in the days of those we connect with. Shine on and stay true to you. Until next time, my friends, your brother Alec is sending you love. Namaste.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.